This is Morning Edition on Maine Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Ed Morin. The Library of Congress American Folklife Center is staging an oral history event in Portland this morning focused on veterans. It will include an open training on how to capture and record veterans' stories and get them preserved by what's called the Veterans History Project. And as part of the event, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree will present several service medals posthumously to the family of a World War II airman who was shot down over Nazi-occupied France but survived for months behind enemy lines. Fred Bever has the story.
In late December 1943, Staff Sergeant Anthony A. Ornatek and the rest of the crew of a B-17 bomber known as the Raunchy Wolf were flying back to Britain after a successful bombing run that targeted a ball-bearing plant in France. A 23-year-old waste gunner, Ornatek was on his second airborne mission when the bomber encountered a squadron of German Messerschmitt fighter planes over Calais.
They lost three of the four engines, and the plane was going down slowly. And he and most of the crew bailed at 1,500 feet.
Ornatek's son, known as Little Tony in the family, says most of the 10-person crew made it safely to Earth and were taken in by the French resistance. At first, they had no way to contact Allied forces, and back home in North Chicago, Ornatek's mother, Stella, received a telegram from the U.S. Adjutant General James Ulio.
It says, "The Secretary of War desires me to express his deep regret that your son, Staff Sergeant Anthony A. Ornatek, has been reported missing in action since 30 December over Germany. If further details or other information are received, you will be promptly notified. ULIO, the Adjutant General."
It would be 4 months before she heard anything more. Meanwhile, her son and his crewmates were on a perilous adventure in the farmlands of German-occupied France in January of 1944.
He and his crew members met up with a farmer in a barn, who exchanged clothes with them and gave them bicycles. And they rode on bicycles. He escorted them and guided them to the next village where they stayed for a month or so.
They stayed mostly indoors during daylight hours, moving from village to village. He lived with a painter, a beet sugar contractor, a farmer, and other members of the Refractaires, the resistors. During a longer-term stay with one French family, Ornatek did venture outdoors.
My father worked with them in the fields, probably, around the barnyard, you know, cutting wood or whatever, doing whatever chores were necessary, just to make sure he fit in. Because don't forget, there weren't a lot of French men around. So to have a Frenchman there was suspect. And so my dad did the best he could to fit in.
The winter wore on, and there were close calls.
And one evening, the farmer's daughter brought him down to the village, to the local bistro. And she introduced my father to the innkeeper, the bartender, as this American GI. And the bartender began laughing horrendously because the bistro was full of German officers.
A quick exit ensued. In March, Ornatek and other soldiers, including Frenchmen, started a trek towards the border with neutral Switzerland. They traveled on foot, by bus, and train, but mostly by truck, at one point colliding with, then escaping from a German vehicle. Many of Ornatek's companions were caught along the way. On May 5th, a few of them started a final push toward a cottage near the border, where they were to meet a guide to help them make the crossing. Along the way, they met a young French woman who told them to turn back.
Because the Germans had surrounded the cottage, had killed the guide, and they were in great danger. My dad and another guy decided to go on by themselves in the woods. And through strictly dead reckoning, using his compass and a map, and occasionally speaking with a few French people, they made their way to Switzerland. My dad did. I think I didn't make it. And my dad said he did hear the machine gun fire in the woods that night. But he made it to Switzerland safely.
To Boncourt, Switzerland. A week later, the Red Cross sent a telegram to his mother saying that her boy was safe. He spent several months in Switzerland learning to play chess, to speak more French, and making a few purchases.
And I had the wristwatch he bought in Switzerland to replace the one he lost when he parachuted out. Yeah. It still works.
Anthony A. Ornatek served the rest of his tour back in Illinois, where he eventually married and raised a family, including little Tony, who's now a retired accountant living in Cape Elizabeth. He pieced together this story of his father's service from past conversations, family documents, and a report that Airman Ornatek wrote soon after making it across the Swiss border in 1944. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
You can read Airman Ornatek's own account of his journey through a hostile territory at mainpublic.org. And this morning, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree will present 5 posthumous medals to his descendants. The day-long event also includes opportunities for other veterans and their friends to tell and preserve their stories. It starts at 9 a.m. at the Abramson Center at the University of Southern Maine.